from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The top-ranked show in the city.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
What's good, everybody? It is a little walkthrough. It's a reaction Monday, y'all. It's a reaction that? Monday, and we got a W, man. Texans fans ought to be celebrating. Hell, we had a nice little win on Friday. I know we've had a couple of days to celebrate. I kind of like that, by the way, guys. I could get used to having 2-3 days to celebrate a win and spend a little time with the family. That's a hell of a way to get it done on Friday night. Next two games on Saturday at noon, so we got a little weekend football coming up. And we got Texans ticket Tuesday. We just got confirmation, y'all, that the Texan ticket Tuesdays are starting tomorrow. So if you're out there listening, you heard me. Texans ticket giveaway, Texans ticket Tuesday. That is a Texans ticket giveaway. It starts tomorrow. We'll have one pair of front row bullpen tickets to give away in the 5 o'clock hour. Is it at 5 o'clock or in the 5 o'clock hour?
Just 5 o'clock hour, baby.
In the 5 o'clock hour. You know how Ron will go 5, Ron will go 5:30, Ron will go 5:45. You never know. The 5 o'clock hour, you got to be plugged in now. We're not the only show, though. Everybody across the drive, all three shows on the drive, will have a pair of tickets, front row bullpen tickets, the 7 a.m. hour, the noon hour, and the 5 p.m. hour. Be tuned in. I think you stay plugged in 24/7, 365, at least Monday through Friday.
Get a chance to watch a little Daniel Jones and Malik Nabers fall apart.
Yeah, why not? Hell, I mean, that's got the makings of a come apart as well. 7 a.m. hour, noon hour, and 5 p.m. hour, Texans ticket Tuesday. Starts tomorrow. Be plugged in. Win these tickets, front row. It's funny, guys, these old front row tickets. I mean, look, front row bullpen tickets are always money, no matter what your team's doing. Right, but it's been several years now, boys, since we've been able to do a preseason promo about some tickets that are going to get folks excited. I mean, hell, this is a team that you want to go see. This is a team that you want to show up early for. This is a team that you want to buy all the gear and wear all the gear and you want these guys repping the city. So we're here for you, man. Two front row tickets, a pair of front row bullpen tickets. Coming up tomorrow, so stay plugged in. Hey, I was Sean Pendergast and I. We do obviously do the post game show. Appreciate everybody out there for listening, calling in. We got some great callers and obviously a ton of listeners. And before we crank up our post game show, we we listened to Andre Ware and Andre Ware and Mark
Vandermeer.
Mark Vandermeer. Damn, Vandy.
Put him up.
Yep, those guys. They do a little wrap up, about 20 minutes, I guess, 15, 20 minutes of what they just saw. And they went through all the good. They went through all the good and did a hell of a job. They do a really good job wrapping it up. I steal some of their material, obviously, for the post game, but definitely stole some for this particular segment here. And it was the very last question, literally right before they kicked to us live. And the question is part of this audio. And this is a big concern for the Texans. Hopefully, a couple of the guys that they brought in, hopefully a couple of the guys they drafted are the answer to this issue. But the run game, the Texans' run game, it has not looked any better. There's no reason in the first two preseason games for anybody to have changed opinion or have less concern. But
we
here,
can run the ball.
That's right. Here is Mark Vandermeer and Andre Ware to wrap up their postgame show Friday night.
They're going to have to find a way to manufacture, meaning create, a ground game. They just have to.
And it's what we talked about a little bit earlier. It's not just going to happen because Laramie decided to come back to practice and Joe Mixon decided to come back to practice and whomever else, Titus Howard, decided to come back to practice. And all of a sudden it's opening day and you're going to open up holes for whoever's at running back. You need some work together as an offensive line so that you start to establish the things that make you a good running football team and a good pass protecting football team. It just doesn't magically happen because it's been that way in the past.
I couldn't agree with Andre Ware more, Ron. I thought it was a strong way for them to end their post game segment there. A strong way to wrap up the run game thoughts from what we've seen really for the last 2 weeks to start camp. And I think he's right, man. That you've got to get time on task together. We've talked about it a million times, and I know I've talked about it with Wade Smith, former Houston Texan. Talked to him multiple times about in this offense in particular. You can argue in damn near any offense, but definitely in this offense,
bro.
That guy right there. You've got to have five offensive linemen that are all taking the exact same step, the exact same depth and distance. At the same time, all on the same pace, it's got to work like a line dance. I mean, these guys have, and you just simply cannot get there without all five guys working together. It's why I hate the Laramie Tunsil slow introduction to camp, because guess what now? Tyler, do you know if Titus Howard was out there or not?
Ooh. I can't remember. I know. I was looking. That was one of the numbers I was looking for right at first.
Well, whether he was out there or not, you never know when somebody's going to go down. And if had Laramie Tunsil practiced before today, then you could have had all five of your starting offensive linemen working together for a week or 2 weeks or whatever. Right now, the good news is I've seen video, so I know Laramie Tunsil was out there getting that work in. Right. So there's your offensive line. We'll see if Titus Howard it gets back sooner rather than later. But you got to get the big boy Laramie Tunsil out there working with the fellas. It's not just going to happen because he steps on the field, because it's not just about one dude. It's about all five of those guys. The good thing about when Andre Ware said that, Ron, to wrap up that postgame, I said, boy, he's on to something. Now we've got to really – the clock is ticking at this point for Laramie Tunsil to get back on the field and join the fellas. And I'll be damned if today the video evidence that I saw, Laramie Tunsil, and boy, he looks good in them damn unis now. That sucker looks good. He looks good in or out of pads. I mean, to be that damn big and move the way he does. But he is in uniform. He was back at practice last night, and he is working with those guys, getting that work next to Kenyon Green and hearing Juice Scruggs calls and those guys communicating. C.J. Stroud in the backfield. I mean, that is paramount, Ron, that he gets back and he gets at work with his fellas up front.
Yeah, and I think also this offensive line, especially Laramie Tunsil and even Titus Howard, I don't think they get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to, hey, it's because they're not here that the run game isn't going well. No, you don't think like, hey, as soon as we get Laramie back, that's when we'll start to run the football.
Yeah.
That's not the thought process that you have with them. So you don't necessarily look at this and say, all right, if we get Laramie and Titus back, then we'll be able to run the football like we wanted to. If you were struggling with pass protection and you got those two back, that's another thing. So it does feel like these guys need time. They need time. Joe Mixon needs time to understand potentially how to set up blocks and what it is that they do well. So they don't just get the benefit of the doubt of being great run blocking, you know, offensive linemen. That's not what they are. Yeah. So it feels like these guys need to get as many reps together as they possibly can.
Well, you bring up Joe Mixon because I think these are the two guys on this football team that are most instrumental in this team developing some kind of respectable run game. Right, I think you look at Laramie Tunsil up front, he's going to have to set the tone. I mean, we can sit around and talk about, yeah, he's best pass. I think there's a reason why they all say he's the best pass. They start with pass blocking, okay? But when you're paid the kind of money you are and you're the leader that Laramie Tunsil is, he's got to lead the charge in terms of the physicality. He's got to lead the charge in terms of holding these guys accountable and making sure that wherever they need to get together as a group, they get there by the time the Indianapolis game rolls around. Number two, Joe Mixon in the back. Those are the two. The two guys that I think have to be the tip of the spear in generating this run game, Laramie Tunsil, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was back at practice as well. And another guy looks great in pads, man. I mean, just moves effortlessly and at a whole different level than anybody else that's out there right now. Cam may get there. I don't know if Cam Akers can get there or not in terms of just looking the part, but he's definitely that caliber athlete or was that caliber athlete. But right now, man, Joe Mixon being back out there, he seems to be stoked about being back out there on a Sunday night. But Ron, him being introduced back into the mix as well, the timing's perfect. As we said, you got a little over 2 weeks before you got to start prepping for Indianapolis. Yeah. And you got about 2 weeks to get your body right, get in shape, get in game shape, get used to the heat before you got to turn your focus solely on Indianapolis. It was good to see those guys back out there last night.
Because, I mean, I think a lot of people had certain levels of confidence with the addition of Joe Mixon that this run game would be what it needs to be. But they got to get some time together, as Andre was saying. They definitely have to.
They've got to. So because now's the key is like with Titus Howard, is he full go? Is he going to be able to stay healthy? Can they keep all these guys healthy to get that necessary run together that Andre was talking about? We'll see. I hope the sign is that with Laramie Tunsil coming back and Joe Mixon coming back, I hope that sign is this August the 11th, Sunday night, August the 11th, was after the second preseason game. That was when these guys had targeted to come back and start getting right, get your mind right, get the run game right. Hopefully that's where they're at. Fellas, I had a little, I'd call it a honeydew this morning, but I kind of did it on my own, you know, just out of the goodness of my heart. Mm. But I think I understand my wife's shopping problem a little better right now. Do y'all seem to be like, do y'all have like a crazy amount of cardboard boxes at y'all's house too?
Yeah. That Amazon gets aggressive.
I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. But Ron, here's the deal. So I've had my eye on, well, this social media is dangerous. I've had my eye on this this outfit since before my second daughter was born. It's basically like a little kind of like some sweat suit material, overall kind of light summer material. And it's one, you know, you buy a set for mom and you buy a set for the baby and they match kind of deal, or for the toddler.
So you got to get
and
three then, of them.
Well, no, they don't have them for the little bitty one.
Oh,
she ain't walking. You got to be able to walk for this to be cool. Oh, okay. All right. So I saved it a long time ago. This is where social media, somehow I got a reminder. Hey man, you got all this stuff in your cart, bro. So I was like, what the hell is this? So I hit the button. Sure enough, there's them outfits. I ain't thought about them in 6 months.
It's a sign now.
Boom. So I went ahead and ordered them. Hell, I had 30% off. So I went ahead and ordered them, Ron. So I ordered Liv, not the baby, and they fit fine. I ordered mama one and it didn't fit right. So I'm really into this look, you know? So I'm like, hey, I'll get it returned. I've never exchanged anything like that. She's always taken it and done it. You know what I mean? So I just assumed it was a difficult process. Have you guys like taken something back offline? I know Tyler has. Tyler, because as many t-shirts as he buys, he's got to wear out that year.
Oh, yeah. I've had to return a few online shopping purchases.
Bro, it's scary how easy it is.
Oh, yeah.
I walked in, and of course the place is packed. And I said, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. I got to return a couple of items, and I'm not real familiar with the process, but I think I did all this right. One of them was like a happy something, new way of returning things. I don't know. New. So I said, and she goes, oh yeah. She scanned it. Boom, you're done with that. What's next?
Damn.
I said, well, I printed this thing off. I said, I think this is good for the next. She goes, yep, you're all good. Thank you. I mean, I wasn't in the store 10 seconds.
And you're out.
Out. Done. And got my new gear. Got my new gear. One of them was mine. Got me some new gear coming and got her new item coming. I always like to shop in person because, like, I don't want to have to repackage everything up and send it off and have what I thought would be a 10-minute conversation and exchange. Ron, I didn't have to tell. All I had to do, that piece of paper, here you go, scan it. I didn't have to give my name, my address, what was in the box, nothing. It was just boom, boom, you're done. If it's that easy, hell, now I understand why she orders.
She don't care.
She orders three or four of the same thing and then just sends back the two or three that she didn't want. Hell, now I know why. I had no clue.
You just had to roll up there and then bam, bam, bam. No, I had to
Chief,
do that
I wasn't yet. In that store 10 seconds.
I'm thinking about it. I had something with FedEx I had to do. But I had to wrap it. I had to put it in the box. I had to tape the box.
What I did, I put them back in the bag that they came in. Like they came, they didn't come in boxes. They came in just, you know, bags. Yeah, yeah. I guess so they can shove them in my damn mailbox. Yeah. So I just kept the bag, right? And shoved the stuff back in there. They tape it. They tape that same bag back up, stick that label on there, and put it on the road. I said, hell, now I'm going to have a problem.
Because you about to start just that easy, huh?
I mean, I'll wear something that's a little bit too snug or a little bit too big, or maybe it hurts one of my feet or something. Hell, I'll wear it because I'm just like,
hey, you're probably going to get that stuff back quick.
Hell, yeah. One of them, Ron, said, we will exchange it, and we'll go ahead, give us your credit card. We're going to charge you $1 just to hold it. And the second that they buzz in your return, we'll cancel it, right? Because if I don't return whatever the for some reason I ordered a shirt in a medium, Ron. I didn't check.
Away from you.
Well, no, I don't know why. I don't know how it happened. I literally pulled out the bag and I put it on, Ron, and I was like, what the hell is
this? I was about to say, who is wearing a medium?
So I turned around and checked it. I said, boy, this is a medium. What the hell happened? I must just hit the wrong button, right? Well, I exchanged it for my size. And anyway, it was one of them where the minute they hit that QR code or whatever the hell is it on that thing?
No.
It alerts me, hey, you're clear, your new item is
on the way.
It's already on the way, but the credit card's clear. It's wild, man. So I understand my bride's her and I still don't appreciate it all the time, but I understand it a little bit more. The simplicity of it is scary, to be honest with you.
All right, some news and notes with the Astros. Some good news, and I thought this was good news till I watched it. We'll discuss that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, a lot of news and notes to cover with the Astros. Let's get to the good news first. The good news, Yordan Alvarez and Alex Bregman were named co-players of the week for the Astros as Clint ran through their numbers. 6 of 10, 3 homers for Yordan, 7 of 12. Bregman, extra base hits, homers, had a big-time week this week as they're in the midst of this five-game winning streak. So that's some good news. Other good news, Verlander will throw another rehab start later this week. Reports he was getting up to 96 in his first rehab start. DiZenzo could play some left field. He was taking some fly balls out there today as well. Now, the tough news. Luis Garcia remains no throw. He is still not throwing when Joe Espada was asked if the team is close to making a final decision on his season, Espada replied, obviously, we're running out of days, but I'm not in a position to say we're not going to see him for the rest of the season.
It's not ideal.
But the days are counting down. So that is the latest with Luis Garcia, still not throwing and not looking great as we're sitting here at April or August 12th. And then, you know, I thought this was really good news. We started to hear reports that Kyle Tucker worked out and we saw him do the most we had seen him do all offseason, saying he was doing some crow hop throws, short distance, side-to-side explosive movement, some jogging, taking some fly balls. And Joe Espada, when speaking to the media, said, I think he's turned the corner. Now it's we have to improve from what we saw today, being able to do more of that without feeling soreness in the area. I think today was a good day. And I was really through the moon until I watched the video. And there is video footage of him. I've retweeted it. There's video footage of it, fellas. And, I mean, today may have been a good day, but that man does not look close to being able to. I mean, it may be a great day. This may be improvement. We haven't really had any understanding. But that's really the first time he clearly still, to me, has a hitch in his gait, if not flat out a limp.
Yeah, well, this is not good. This is wishful thinking from Joe. The video I saw, this is wishful thinking from Joe Espada. Well, like, this is very misleading from Joe Espada. Like, I mean, this is, I mean, from a fan's perspective, it is. I mean, I'm
trying to do the best I can.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I mean, this is just the video that I saw. I mean, hell, you're talking about a guy limping around out there, just and it's not even. I bet it ain't. He ain't going 20%. And you can still see the limp. You can still see him favor that leg.
He's favoring trying to stop himself.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, that's very, very misleading. He is, hell, I'm thinking we was close. Hell, I was borderline pissed at you earlier, Ron, for disagreeing.
I said closer.
Closer, yeah. No, you're right. I mean, you are exactly right. He ain't nowhere. What I saw today, he ain't nowhere near close.
Like, honest to God, when you look at that, how far away from a rehab start does he look? I mean, he looks wishful thinking a week away.
I mean, Ron,
from a rehab start. I mean, and I'm being wishful.
No, I think. I mean, unless they're going to play him with a limp, then he don't look. That don't look a week away from when we all saw him. I mean, he was moving as good as he was. He was moving when he jogged out there with that bad leg, limping to the line to shake hands a damn month ago, whatever that was. When.
Oh yeah, that was more than a month ago. Yeah, when.
When Julia Morales' video caught him limping from the dugout to the after that win, I mean, all they've done is put him in the outfield right now. It's the same limp. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. It's not good. That's very misleading. The Luis Garcia stuff, though, I'll be honest with you, Ryan. We talked a little bit earlier about kind of the Kikuchi effect.
Yeah.
The he has definitely put me in a spot where I ain't worried about Luis Garcia.
Just shut him down.
I mean, I don't care what you do with him. If he gets back cool, if not, shut him down. No, man, that's just where I'm at. I mean, you got the ability to go to a 6-man rotation, and when it comes playoff time, you're gonna have two of those guys, definitely one, if not two of those guys, that you're then gonna be able to use in a long relief role or some kind of piggyback role, or you know, however you want to use them, one, maybe two of those guys. And so, knock on wood, hopefully there's no more injuries. Hopefully we get Verlander back and guys stay healthy. I mean, I'm just at a point where, again, barring some injury, I mean, I don't know where Luis Garcia fits.
The Kyle Tucker one is a much bigger thing right now than, well, always was. But Luis Garcia felt like his return was actually going to happen. But to me, I'm with you right now. If we're sitting here at August 12th, I don't sense and see the reason, Clint, why we should rush him in. Like if he had to shut him down and he was struggling, and the thought is, can we get him by the playoffs, and it's April 12th and he's not throwing and it's coming off Tommy John, to me it feels like let's go ahead and heal him correct. Let's get him healed as best as possible so we can have him next year. So he can be an option next year. Kikuchi is not 100% of it. He's not an option next year, right? He's not signed past this year.
That's a good point.
We do too. Yeah. So like to me, and when you know you're not going to have Christian Javier at least the start next year, and Jose, I'm just drawing Urquidy, completely drew a blank on him. You know you're going to have those two guys at the start of the year, and Lance is just whatever Lance is. I think you got to be cautious right now, because the only thing is you're going to try to ramp him up quick.
Yeah.
And that to me doesn't make as much sense. This Kyle Tucker.
Boy, that's deflating, man.
Why didn't you show me
that video? Why don't you just keep it to yourself?
See, that's what you and the listeners want me to do, just not be honest.
Just keep it to yourself, man.
You watched it, Tyler? Have you seen him?
It doesn't look good. You haven't seen the video.
But I, for one, want to stay up to date, so I appreciate you, Ron. Thanks for looking out, bro.
Ain't that cute. I just said it's closer. Not close. Somebody said fire the med staff. What a joke. I don't know, man. Trying to figure out what kind of healing he's got.
I mean, he yelled that F word with some passion. There was some pain in that F word.
That's an aggressive limp he's got right there.
I mean, what corner does Jose? I mean, does Joe Espada think he's turning?
I think
he's turning the corner. What corner?
He couldn't physically turn a corner. God, I was loading up.
Pivoting is hard with a bad knee. I know from experience.
I was loading up for that. He cannot turn a corner. Could you, like, right now, I just want to go out there and just say simple, ask him to go do simple baseball things. Hey, go ahead and run down the first and just round.
Make the turn. Make the turn like it was a single, true single.
Just make it just.
Show us a strong pivot.
I think he would get thrown out trying to get himself back.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm, like, just watching that short jog to go get that, to try to catch that ball, what he's doing to try to stop his movement to stop his acceleration.
Right.
I mean, it is.
Well, when he opened up.
I mean, he looks like he's a driver on snow.
Well, but he looks like he's giving you 15, 20%.
Yes.
Like he ain't even remotely interested in giving you 50.
He's thinking about it. It's clearly there. And, man, I'm bad, man. Somebody said, can Kyle Tucker play first base? Guys, Kyle Tucker can't play anything on the diamond. Go watch it and tell me that young man is hurting.
Kyle Tucker will have a hard time walking through the line post game shaking
God,
hands.
Dog. If you imagine how sore he probably was after that.
Oh man, boy, that's painful.
It looks like it clearly is painful for him.
The bad thing is it pisses me off at Espada and Dana Brown. Anybody that's commented on his
at least Espada has been. Joe has been the one that's been a little tame on this. Dana,
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Dana said he expects him this month. Joe said I can't. I think it'd be aggressive for me to say this month.
Well,
Dana
said, according to that video, Joe's more accurate
because Dana said something else. All right, think about the stuff that you cared about, the stuff that mattered going into that first preseason game, seeing most of the ones play. Would you deem Friday's performance by the Texans as a successful performance? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Remember tomorrow, as Clint said earlier, it's a big day. Tomorrow, Texans Ticket Tuesday is back. Texans Ticket Tuesday is back. You'll have a chance on our show at 5 o'clock, in the 5 o'clock hour, to win a pair of tickets front row in the bullpen. Front row seats for this game against the Giants coming up on Saturday, so stay tuned for that. Also on all the shows, 7 a.m. on Payne and Pendergast, noon on In the Loop, and then, as I said, 5 p.m. with us here on The Drive.
Yes!
There you go. There you go. All right. Look, all around, let's hear from it. 713-572-4610. I want to hear your honest thoughts on this. For everything that you cared about, we talked about it a lot leading into the first preseason game where the starters, or many of the ones and the twos who were available to play, were going to play. And we saw a lot of them. CJ was out there. Deco was out there. Stephon Diggs played. Tank Dell obviously played. We saw a lot of guys out there. Was Friday's preseason game successful, do you think, for the Texans? Was it successful, do you think, for the Texans? I'll say this. Everybody, no major injuries coming out of that thing, especially to, you know, some of the real impactful players, is number one. So that already gives it a success. But beyond that, do you look at Friday's game as a success?
Yeah, look, I thought it was a solid outing. You know, you've got a lot of established players, so it's really just a matter of getting your feet wet, going through the motions, trial and error, all your different communication. Sure, you've got some young guys that need to make some calls. I think they were able to do that. I'm talking about Juice Scruggs and Kenyon Green on the offensive side of the football. So, I thought it was a solid outing, man. You got all of your guys on the offensive side of the football, the exception of Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, and Joe Mixon, I believe, all your starters, with the exception of those three guys. They all got out there together, broke a sweat, scored a touchdown, had a three and out, so there was an opportunity there to do some communicating on the sideline and test those channels and make sure everybody's sitting in the right spot and talking to the right coach and give them time to communicate with each other, kind of deal. I think offensively it was an overall success. And I think defensively, given the starters that were out there, everybody wasn't out there, but in the first play of the game, Ron, I thought it was a screen. He beat the tackle so quick, I thought it was a screen.
He is a problem.
I mean, he is a major, major problem. When you get Will Anderson out there opposite him, when you get Denico Autry inside with him, when you get four quarters of where he can just absolutely abuse offensive linemen, whether it's on the right side or the left side, golly, it's going to be fun to watch. And then my camp crush, if you will, Mario Edwards Jr., man. I mean, he showed up big time on a goal line stop down there late in the game. And that's, a lot of where we've seen Mario Edwards flash in camp, which he's flashed a lot, it was all pass rush situations typically. It's hard to see what defensive linemen are doing when there's no pads or anything like that on. But you can see that he's flashing in pass rush situations, and he's winning. And it's a welcome sight given what Denico Autry, the six-game suspension Denico Autry has. But, boy, to see him go down there, Ron, in a goal line situation, penetrate and make a big stop, that is even another layer to this Mario Edwards emerging at the right time thing.
Yeah, the defense clearly, I think, was a success, right? That first drive, they gave up a few plays, but then they kind of got down and did what they needed to do to get off the field. And then the next one was a three and out. Obviously, I think they were helped with Justin Fields and the center exchange or whatever, but Like you said, Daniil Hunter, that was a problem. 76 didn't. I just watched it again. 76 just didn't. I mean, didn't have a prayer whatsoever. So the defense to me looked every bit of what we've been seeing in training camp, which is they've been the more dominant side of the ball.
The thing that's interesting about Daniil Hunter is like if you don't have a Laremy Tunsil, Trent Williams, if you don't have a top end tackle, he's going to abuse whoever you put out there. You're just going to have to dedicate a tight end and a running back, or you're going to have to slide protect to him every single time to give that tackle inside help. I mean, it's
Clint, you just can't leave Laremy by himself. Like you can't. Yeah. Not all game long.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. He is. And then the flip side of that is you've got Will Anderson opposite him, and so. Just imagine if Will Anderson takes that next step. He was already a problem before with just his physicality and his the motor that just never stops, right? He was already a problem. Now, if he takes that next step in terms of his pass rushing skill set, I mean, good gosh, man. I mean, from a pass rush perspective, they can be even better than we've talked about, and we've talked about him at nauseam, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought the defense was great. To me, the offense, they have obviously the big play to Tank Dell, and that was good to see. They were helped, obviously, with the Tank Dell return as well to set them up in good field position. And I think there is something to, you know, Brocker being in, Patterson being in a lot, Blake Fisher being in. I hope to see more progress in the run game than that. That was, to me, that jumped off. Yeah, like, because obviously this looks a lot different if CJ and Tank don't hook up for that play. Like, obviously, Clint, hell, I think potentially if that is incomplete or something like that, I think you may have gotten your wish. I think we may have seen that offense have to come back out one more time if they had stalled out again because they were on their way to a three and out. But it was really, and even when Davis came in, they still had Kenyon Green and Scruggs in, some of the guys that were getting playing time. That run game just seemed to struggle, and obviously it's preseason, but that was something that stuck out, was the hopes that gets better. I was hoping we'd see more, and maybe obviously Tunsil and Howard have something to do with it. But that was something that stuck out that brings it a little bit from the complete 100% positive.
Yeah, the run game's got to get better. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, the run throughs, the not getting push, on like play side, literally where you're going. There's too much. Whether it's just a lineman getting pushed back 2-3 yards, or it's the linebacker undercutting or getting over the top like in immediate fashion, that just, you know, that can't be that can't happen in a run game. It don't matter who's back there. That can't happen in the run game. So they got to get better there without a doubt.
Yeah, they got to get better there. But outside of really that was a promising performance from the team overall, even the second guys. What the hell was that about with Cam Johnston? Does Cam Johnston have? Does him and Tank Dell have an issue? If you that punt return.
I saw what you're talking about. I don't know if they have an issue or not.
Tank Dell ran, and Cam Johnson, I think, should have got a 15-yard penalty for hitting him while he was
Cam?
Out. Cam Johnston, the punter, who Pittsburgh. Used to be the punter for the Texans. He's the punter now.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm with you.
For the Steelers, he came, hit Tank late, and then walked Tank down. Like, you don't see punters walk down.
Right.
He walked Tank down and headbutted him.
Was it before or after our punter, Tommy Townsend, did what he did?
Before.
Okay. Yeah, man, okay.
Not long hair, Tommy. But that right there looked like to me like these guys were teammates last year, and Cam Johnston couldn't wait to get his near Tank. That was weird.
Aussie was a bit fired up, huh? I missed that.
It was a walk. I mean, he had to walk a good 5 to 10 steps to get to continue towards him and headbutt him.
It wasn't even a real. Like, he was obviously amped out of his mind because he got a little bit of a hit, and he got over there and got physical with somebody. But like, it wasn't even that physical of a hit. to stand over and flex on somebody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I have never seen Cam Johnston stand or flex or do anything like that. Like, it almost seemed like it was personal with Tank Dell.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not heard anything.
What the hell, Cam?
Go back and watch that.
Hey, I loved our guy tell that dude to catch the ball, bitch, though. That was hilarious. Catch the ball, bitch!
Just rattled that off three times in a row.
I love it. I loved it. Punter crap talk is the best.
Yeah, the punters got away from themselves. I guess they've been sitting over there on them third fields, and they need to get something. That caught me off, because I rewound that like three or four times.
Punters were turned up on Friday night.
I said, damn, like Cam has been waiting for Tank Dell. That boy punted that. He saw who was back there. He said, damn it, I'm going to get my hands on him. Like, my God.
Chill out,
Cam. I'm just saying, that man got shot this offseason, man. Bygones be bygones, man.
Hey, on the flip side of that, I'm sure I'm excited if Tank Dell is going to be more involved in that return game this year.
Yeah, with the thought of not having to depend on him to be the next dude. Yeah, like guy you have to have out there. Maybe that gives him a chance.
It's common sense, right? That they're not going to be able to in rhythm get him as many touches as you could before Diggs got there. So a couple of ways you can assure that two, three, four more touches a game is in that return game.
And he changed the field position right there.
Very quick, Jack.
All right, coming up, we'll give you the latest here with the Astros, as there's some news out there with Kyle Tucker and Justin Verlander and Luis Garcia, those getting off work. We'll let you know about that and get you ready. Fromber night, can they get six in a row? And the news that came out from a very, very important player with the Texans wasn't able to make it through practice yesterday. We'll give you the latest on that as well.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.